Blog Talk Radio.
And the thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. St. John 10, verse 10. Are there any questions?
Hey, watch it, baby. This guy is heavy on religion.
I can see this has become a struggle between good and evil. Satan has a question.
Yes, sir, Chaplain Gill, but since neither one of us are God, I don't think either one of us are in any position to say who's good and who's evil.
Why don't you just ask your question?
We were discussing the disciples. What color were they?
Well, I don't think we know that for certain.
But they were Hebrews, were they not?
That's right.
As was Jesus. Jesus was also a Hebrew.
Why don't you just ask your question?
What color were the original Hebrews?
I have told you that we don't know that for certain.
Then you can't believe for certain that Jesus was white.
Just a moment. God is white. Isn't it obvious?
Well, that is obvious, but we don't know if it's obvious that God is white. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that Jesus did not have blonde hair and blue eyes. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that the images of Jesus that are on prison walls and churches throughout the world are not historically correct, because history teaches us that Jesus was born in a region where the people had color.
There's proof in the very Bible that you ask us to read in Revelation's
first chapter, verse 14 and 15, that Jesus had hair like wool and feet the color of brass.
Just what are you saying?
I'm not saying anything. I'm proving to you that Jesus was not, and I might quote one of our Indian brothers, he was not a pale face. Amen.
Isn't that interesting? Dearly
beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funkin' lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold, born in a cosmos, where no time and space do exist, vibe in the midst of the chaos, mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerve Radio, with your guide, Deeper, a.k.a. Afro Nerve.
Mashup. So, I think I spoke and no one heard me. Let me repeat that again. Welcome to the Grindhouse Afro Radio, featuring Captain Kirk and of course the great Daryl B. This is a Grindhouse mixtape mashup where the lines are truly blurred, B-L-E-R-D, truly blurred between the comic shop and Afro Nerd Radio. So we're going to have a completely expansive discussion tailored for those who are into pulp, pop, and politics. The call-in number, as always, as ever, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Call up. Feel free to give us your protestations, your questions, your thoughts, what have you. We'll address it respectfully. We're going to go to a quick groove. And we're going to be all over the place, actually. So I want to talk about actually putting a bow around the Ray Rice affair. We spoke about it during the Midweek in Review show, but we didn't have the uncanny Daryl B. in attendance. So I would like to get his opinion on what's happening with Ray Rice and some of the Atlanta franchise teams and their racial problems. So we'll get to that, and then we'll get to the comic book stuff thereafter. First, the groove. This is Blaxploitation Blaxploitation. I know that the Uncanny is familiar with this group. We heard them, as the captain, we heard them at Afropunk a few weeks ago. So let's get into it. Blaxploitation, Start Fires. We'll be right back. Let's groove. Enough of that. Once Again, Blaxploitation from the Afropunk movement, Start Fires, Start Fires. We're back. Folks, this is the Grindhouse edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk, the Grindhouse mixtape, where the lines are truly blurred. First up, of course, is the Captain. Captain Kirk, you needed in engineering and the ready room and the bridge. Let's get to it.
It should be interesting, to say the least.
Yes. And, of course, we have the Uncanny Daryl B.
How many black guys is my sport going to take? But you know what? The unenlightened, you don't realize it, but this is par for the course.
Well, let's just jump into this, because with the Uncanny Daryl B., I'm pretty sure our stalwart listenership to date is aware that you have full knowledge of comic book and pulp matters, but you also are a sports geek. You're pretty adroit when it comes to sports matters. And we did the show. I didn't really have enough time to contact you, you know, give you the due diligence to really get you on board for Wednesday. But I'm curious, what are your thoughts about, let's go down the line, less about myself and Captain, because we already went through our positions. What do you think about the Ray Rice affair? We're hitting it again now. We're into this again with this tape, the NFL, Goodell, his job may be on the line. What are your thoughts?
It's simple. On the fan, callers, people out there, I usually call the overnights with Tony Page and Mark Malouses on WFAN in New York. And overnight you get a little bit more time to talk and rationalize, and you do it, and I've been doing it since 92 as Ben from Queens, all right? And we get into it, and it just strikes me how many people are like, well, you see, it's all her fault. And I'm like, really? Okay, all right. And these are professed sports fans blaming her for this. All right, okay, I'll take it. Hey, the number one person at fault here outside of Ray Rice for throwing the damn punch in the first place is Goodell. Roger Goodell, hi, how you doing, man? That was beautiful. What did you think happened in the elevator without the rest of the tape? She was unconscious, all right? It wasn't no alcohol related. It wasn't, listen, all you needed to do to get Rice was look at the tape, okay? And I'm not even saying look at the full tape that came out TMZ. Look at his behavior on the tape. Afro Nerd, you're with your girl, okay? Your girl goes unconscious. What is the first move you make? Just answer the question. What is the first move you make? If your girl goes unconscious, I'm not saying you hit her, but you're with your girl. She goes unconscious. What's your first move?
Well, two things. One, I'm going to check on her, make sure she's in a certain position, and then I'm going to call for help.
Thank you. What was Ray Rice's first moves on that tape? He pulls her unconscious body out of the elevator, okay? Someone comes over, and he walks away. He gets 8 games regardless for just that. You don't leave, she's your loved one, you don't leave her there dead prone. No way, no how. Right there, people could tell me how good a guy Ray Rice is, okay? All they want. Right there, just said what's in your soul, man. It also tells me this was not your first time doing this. It says that right there, right point blank. All right? You could come up with, oh, he's a great guy in the community. He could come up with all of this. No. You know what you are? You're Lance Armstrong. Oh, he's a great guy on face, but this showed me your soul, man. Now let me get back to Goodell. Okay? This is why I don't feel sorry for Ray Rice in the least. Because guess what? If it was a first-time occurrence, you're in shock, but you're also going to show care for that. Like, it was, I didn't mean to do it. You would be there. He ran. Great, great show of testicular fortitude, man. That's real good. And here it is. Someone in the NFL obviously saw this full tape. Obviously saw this full tape. Okay? Goodell, if someone in the NFL saw this full tape, how didn't you see it? There was a call to Tony Page's show this week, a former casino guard, a former cop, saying if anybody in the NFL called, we might not have been able to give them the tape, but we would be able to sit in the room with their representatives and go over what was on the tape if someone would have called them. My first instinct, if I have a multi-billion dollar league and I have one of the top players in my league in an incident like that, I would need some trusted advisors to go and see the tape. How don't you see the tape? That's why this is a crock. Now let me get to her. Ma'am, Miss Rice, you know, I understand standing by your man, okay? I understand that. I understand you want to do what's best for your family and all of that, but do you realize you set back the battered woman's movement about 10 years with how you've answered this? All you needed to say is we had a problem that night. He isn't really like this. We're getting help. End it right there. No, you go and attack the media. All right. You go and attack the media. But before that, you said, oh, it's all my fault. Isn't that the stigma battered women have been trying to get rid of for the last 25 years? Again, this whole thing is a mess. There are no heroes here, all right? TMZ? No, because they paid for the tape. They're the outlet where we saw the full picture of this. But understand this, men, not just black men, not just white men, not just rich men, not just poor men, okay? Understand this. I don't care what the situation is, all right? This is the age of digital communication. This is the age where everybody can be a reporter, okay? You act bad in public, it's going to come back on you. Ask Adrian Peterson. I'm sure we're going to get around to that. You act bad in public, eventually it will catch up to you. All right? Now, if the NFL came hard on Rice in the first place, if they came down hard in the beginning, this isn't a story now. It's shocking the tape, but the NFL took the right measures by suspending him 8 games. You know, it would have been a story. It really wouldn't have been, okay? If Goodell didn't do that stupid interview with CBS where he essentially Michael Vicked himself by saying, I had no knowledge. No one, me in my office, had any knowledge of the rest of this tape. Well, obviously there would be a rest of the tape. Why? It's in the casino. A casino runs cameras 24/7 to catch cheats, to catch criminals, to catch people even thinking of trying to steal their money. And especially in an elevator, they want to follow. If anybody wins very big but they win suspiciously, they want to follow them all the way to their room to just see their methodology. So there would be a rest of the tape.
Well, Darryl, one thing, because we have a lot of topics, so I just wanted to get your opinion.
I know. I'm just getting it out of the system. I'll end it on this. Like I said, guys, when you're out there, okay, do like Jay-Z. You're going to start laughing. Do like Jay-Z. Why? When Solange went nuts in the elevator, right, Jay-Z didn't raise a hand. He stepped back. He let her go nuts. Sure, he had a bodyguard to hold her. But are we talking about Jay-Z making the wrong action now? Exactly. Back to you, Afro-Nerd.
All right. You know what? Since you went there discussing Jay-Z, earlier today, I made an appearance on Dr. Wilmer Leon's show, courtesy of SiriusXM. Very learned individual. He had a young lady with him. One of his colleagues, and they were discussing the Ray Rice affair. So I brought up the Solange Knowles incident from a few months ago. So I'm going to play this clip of yours truly discussing the Ray Rice issue for just a few moments. And I don't disagree with what you're saying, Darryl, not within the least. I think all of this stuff is about minstrelsy. I think I'm surprised. I know the captain's laughing, but I think anybody that blows millions of dollars is a goddamn minstrel. There's no ifs and buts about it. That should be. I mean, first of all, I'm not the kind of person. Just, if you want to be personal about it, I'm not the kind of person D-Bur. That would. Yes.
Hey, D-Bur, I love when you say that, though. I love when you say it's about minstrelsy. It sounds so funny. Continue.
It's serious. I mean, listen, it is everything. It's just the whole ball of wax deals with just low cognition people. It has to be. Wunderlich scores are probably 0.3. I mean, you don't blow millions as if you're working at Walmart. Ray Rice had a blackout and thought he was working at Walmart and not for the Baltimore Ravens. That's the only excuse. I'm not going to let someone screw around with my positioning, male or female. I don't want anyone, but especially a woman you're in a relationship with, you cannot allow this person, because what happened is she lost her comportment and she lost her money as well as his money. Everybody loses. So anyway, let's go to this clip and then we'll unpack and then we're going to talk about some comic books. We do what we do. Hold on.
Open phones is where we are. Grab a line, 866-801-TALK, 866-801-8255. Let's go to Afro Nerd in New York on 1. Good afternoon. You're going Inside the Issues with Wilmer Leon.
Yes. Dr. Leon.
Yo.
I think you have a fellow Hamptonian coming to your rescue.
Talk to me.
We have to straighten this out.
Okay.
Of course, we would not want to promote the harming of women or men or violence, period. Let's talk about deconstructing violence. Let's talk about Solange Knowles' behavior. Your fellow broadcaster, Stephen A. Smith, has been effectively neutered for telling the truth. Elements of provocation. Maybe kicking someone and having histrionics in an elevator is not the best way to comport oneself. So we want to be honest. We have to, political correctness even is affecting how our black men are living and going about their business, even with police brutality. We know that the police are wrong. But at the same time, we can't seem to talk about how our young men are comporting themselves. We can't talk about how our young women are comporting themselves. Effectively, this is to your guest, Lauren, are we going to continue to be comfortable in infantilizing women? Because they have to be some degree of capitulation on the part of women with their behavior.
What did Jay-Z do? Let's think about what Jay-Z did when Solange acted like a fool. What did Jay-Z do? Think about it.
Well, listen, that's what I'm getting. You're proving my point.
Right. He controlled himself.
He had the choice to comport. He had the choice, but he didn't have to do that. He did not. He was being attacked physically.
But he made the right choice. He did what anybody could have done in that stupid situation he shouldn't have had to deal with.
I ask you, are you comfortable in infantilizing Solange Knowles? Are you comfortable infantilizing women?
When you say infantilizing, what does that mean?
What do you mean?
I'm sorry?
No, when you say infantilizing, I think I know what you're saying, but I'd like for you to clarify that term.
What it means is you're not allowing this woman, irrespective of her gender, to be fully responsible like any other adult. Let's get away from her gender. Let's talk about her being a person. I wouldn't want to be involved with a woman that's going to be talking to me in a certain way or spitting or striking me as a man. Now, I know I had the power to deal with it on a physical level, but I wasn't raised that way. I would walk away. That's my choice. Not every man who's raised like with two-parent household. But to constantly put women in position where, because really, if she were a man conducting herself that way, the police would have been called. It would have been considered assault. It would have been a different situation. But because she's a woman, well, look at, you know, she's just that way. She's crazy. She's an infant. And when women ride this way, mind you, they are secretly saying, well, we're kind of prone for histrionics. We're infants. So which way do you want to be? Do you want to be an infant or you want to be an adult?
Okay. All right, Afro Nerd. Thank you for your perspective, Lauren.
Yeah, well, the problem is with his little scenario is that it represents the minority statistical reality, which is that women are typically the victims. Just because Solange Knowles acted like an idiot and we got to see that doesn't mean that Ray Rice, just like Jay-Z did, could have just controlled himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're dealing with somebody who's doing the wrong thing. That's right. But this is about personal individual behavior and responsibility. And when we look at what Jay-Z did, he is the perfect example of what I'm talking about in that instance. Mm-hmm. When it comes to, we all have the ability to control ourselves, even when somebody does something stupid or says something stupid. That's just the reality. And that Jay-Z example, I think, is perfect.
Sam, in tech.
We're back.
So we have to play the adults. We have to play the adults because we have superior strength and power. And we have to deal with them as infants. Just as an infant goes into a tantrum, and you have to just subdue the infant and not necessarily hit them, Adrian Peterson, you know, you just have to subdue them in the matter and say, okay, relax, calm down, you know, don't put any blows upon them, anything else, otherwise we get in trouble.
You see what happened there, Captain?
Of course, you know,
with his, you know, she went into a, you know how this works with me as a personality.
Course. Of course.
Anytime, when I got you. Who shot you? When I got you,
you're going to,
well, with his little scenario, with his little scenario. You know, she got emotional. She didn't like that. I got you in a box. You can't deconstruct my argument. I am correct. Highlighting the uncanny Daryl B. My in this case, my opinion is correct because she's taking the woman's involvement in the situation completely off the table. She consistently said, "Well, she's a victim, and you know she's acting crazy." Well, she's an adult, isn't she? You want equality, don't you? I mean, you can't have it both ways. You can't be an adult and a woman and a child and do what you want to do and expect it for there not to be a right. What is it? For every reaction, there's another reaction. What is it? How's the statement go?
Yeah.
You got it right. You got it right.
Yeah.
Every reaction makes another reaction.
There's always an equal reaction. Equal and opposite reaction. I mean, this is logical. I'm not saying I'm not a woman beater. First of all, I'm not a violent guy. That's number one. I'm not into violence. We need it. Because, listen, this is going to get a lot funkier. We're in the 21st century. later on in the show, we're going to talk about diversity in comics. There was a piece at, I believe, Comics Alliance with the editor-in-chief. And he was talking about there's people pushing for transgender representation in comic books. Okay? You know, what happens when there's lesbians getting into it? And not the way that we like. Suppose they start fighting each other. Is it going to be the 5'2" lesbian versus the 6'2" lesbian? But they're both women, though. Or what happens if both men? Or both trannies? Or a tranny and a regular dude? See, this is old school the way she's discussing this, and I admit, all I know is old school. I don't know about this other world, but this other world is coming. This other world is coming, and guess what? The lawyers are rubbing their hands, ready for the greed, because if anybody, the only people that ever win are the lawyers. The lawyers are going to win. What are your thoughts on that discussion, Daryl?
Well, I'll just say this. You're saying old world, new world. Hey, Adrian Peterson's explanation. Dude,
yep.
Right there, old world, new world. But at the same time, okay, when she's trying to explain it, I'm just like, I've seen the tape, right? And I saw that. This is your fiance. This is the woman you love. She's coming at you. She's coming at you wide. You are a professional athlete, Ray Rice, okay? She's coming at you wide. All he needed to do was grab the arm, twist her, and hold her and say, honey, calm down, calm down, calm down. No, he saw her hand go out wide, and he cold cocked her.
Well, listen. That,
wait. Now, is it the equality thing? Listen, for all the women who say it. Okay, we want to be treated equal. All right, you know what? I'm going to treat you equal. I'm going to treat you equal on this. She lunged at him. All right, they both spat on one another. But you know what this is? This is Chris Brown and Rihanna. This is what this is. No matter what, oh, she was wrong. No, he was wrong. No, she was wrong. No, he was wrong. No, you're wrong for taking a side with these two dumbasses. Here's two dumbasses getting into a stupid fight, okay? And you're trying to ask which one is better. I'm telling you, they're both idiots. They're both morons. They've cost $1 million. But the true villain here, hi, Roger Goodell. You tried to protect the shield. You're going to lose your job, bro.
Well,
back
see,
to you, Afro Nerd.
Good radio here. Good radio,
that's
guys.
That's what I wanted to hear from an Afro Nerd. You finally got to the infinity formula, and you correctly deduced that this is all minstrelsy. Because if you go into Janae's background, it probably stinks. And if you go into Mr. Rice's background, it probably stinks. These people do not know how to control themselves. But when I spoke to the young lady on the show earlier this afternoon, she didn't want to take responsibility. She's saying, well, you know, Shalange is crazy. Well, she totally, I want people to understand this clearly. She totally tried to not want to deal with the young woman's behavior. And I'm trying to understand, why couldn't she deal with the young woman's behavior? Janae's behavior stinks. Ray Rice stinks. The entire situation is buffoonery, coonery, and minstrelsy. Period. I want everybody to be held responsible for their behavior. Keep your hands to yourself. See, I have broken up with women, and I know that you guys know me for a long time. You probably know my personality. You guys know my personality. I don't like a woman talking slick to me under any circumstance. You know. And you know what I mean. I have had women, but we've been in a car, and you've had a conversation, and they just say something smart. Like, you know, just something like degrading or something that doesn't sit well with me. And I go through the calculations, and I say, you know what? This ain't going to work. And I'm done. Now, other guys will go through the entire infinity formula and deal with the nonsense. You know, this is sometimes people just don't know how to speak to people. Sometimes they will speak to you in a disrespectful manner. I don't deal with women that deal with a lot of profanity. You know, some guys just think that's okay. I like a woman to be a lady. I don't want a woman to be speaking to curse around me a whole lot. You know, a little bit. I can, you know, listen, we're adults. A little bit. But sometimes you have people who are profanity-laden. That's their entire makeup is that they curse all the time. If I'm around a woman that's cursing all the time, she's got to go. I cut this short in the bud because I know where this is going to go. I've seen women that they conduct themselves in a – the women now, they conduct themselves in a somewhat violent manner. Kathy, you know about this stuff. Down on the – you know women now. I'm not talking about – we know guys. We're guys. But we're not dealing with guys that way, okay? We're dealing with women. So I know that in a relationship, you have come across women that you know down the line, she's going to smack you. She's going to do something that's not proper. Have you, Captain, have you come across a woman that's, you know, a little streetish that does, they do not know how to act like a lady?
Of course. I've ran into a few of them. Keep it moving.
And those women are more than likely attracted to violent dudes. One story. I hate being this smart. It's a burden. One of my colleagues a few days ago sends me an email. You can look this up. A white couple. Just so folks feel like, you know, everybody's raining on black people. No, this is a white couple. I suspect lower-tier white couple. So everything's the same, just the complexion. Anyway, you have a – this is in I believe, Washington State. Washington State, you have a young female bodybuilder, somewhat attractive. But, you know, I'm not into the bodybuilder thing, but she was facially – she looked okay. Anyway, she happens to be a prosecutor. Okay, so she's an attorney, 34 years old, young woman, attorney, professional. She ends up, she's probably going to end up getting disbarred because she is, for the most part, I guess, harboring a fugitive or harboring her boyfriend. Her boyfriend is a straight-up criminal, tattoos and everything. So she's going to ruin her career, gentlemen, because she's dealing with this type of individual. Now, when you see his tattoos, he has a tattoo on his forehead that says criminal. I kid you not. The tattoo. So let's get into this. This is what I mean by holding adults responsible for their idiocy. You have a woman who's an attorney, who is a prosecutor, who is dating a man who's a criminal. And is so much of a criminal that he literally has the word criminal tattooed on his forehead. But in this world of victimization, according to Lauren on Dr. William Leon's show, she would try to get away from that woman's behavior. You have a professional woman dating a criminal, and if she couldn't get a clue, he has literally... He literally has a billboard etched on his forehead. Literally has a billboard that says criminal. Now, BA gave me the... Wednesday, our one of our stalwart listeners, Black Achievement, gave us the highest compliment, saying that we're too rough for conventional radio. That might be the case. It's like Mobb Deep shook ones. We're shaking these Negroes on radio. They're shook ones. They can't handle it.
Too rough? I thought I was editing myself there. I could have gone worse. Captain, you've heard me go worse.
Yes, that's for sure.
We all edit ourselves. If we really went in the way we should go in, we would have 2015 Porsches in our driveways right now. I guarantee.
Oh, no, we're not Stern. We can't get away with that. We'd get assassinated, son.
Well, yeah, you probably got a point there, Daryl. You probably got a point. If we really got in and really got pushed by it to these asses, I'd put the Bunsen burner up these butts. It would be rugged. Trust me. It would still be intellectual, but I would have give you no wiggle room in my assertions and in how I structure an argument. It's like what you just heard on Sirius. She said, well, with his little scenario, woman, I got you shook. You can't escape. Sorry. You want to be an adult. You want to be, I am woman. Hear me roar. You want to be an adult. Take out the pacifier, and own up to your own negligence. Own up to it. Be an adult. That's it. Let's go to a groove. Let's talk about some comics. Let's talk about some Titans and Supergirl heading to TV. Let's lighten up the load, and we'll revert back. We'll go in and we come out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, this is the Grindhouse. So it's a Grindhouse mixtape, Grindhouse mashup, where the lines are truly blurred, B-L-E-R-D. This is called Funky Butt by Madlib. Funky Butt, Part 1. Madlib, we're right back. Let's groove. We'll be right back. That was Funky Butt by Madlib, giving you the best of urban alternative groove, black rock, psychedelic soul, and Afro-punk. Back into the fold, gentlemen. Of course, this is the Grindhouse mixtape. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the passing of a legend. They're leaving us, folks, someone I grew up with, actually. I listened to a lot of fusion music by way of the Oracle. The Oracle, during my youth, he played a lot of jazz in the household. He played a lot of jazz, but a lot of jazz rock fusion. And one of the seminal, really, figures of the music that I listened to was Mr. Joe Sample. Joe Sample passed yesterday at the age of 75, and he was one of the founding members of the Crusaders, one of my favorite groups. Styx Hooper was a drummer, and when I used to drum, especially back then, he was one of those go-to people that I would look at as far as drumming. But Mr. Sample, of course, was a pianist and composer, keyboard player, and he worked with folks. I mean, again, working with the Giants, Miles Davis, Jimmy Witherspoon, Eric Clapton, Steely Dan. I mean, he was no more of a fusion jazz guy, but he also delved into other genres, classical music, Latin music, blues. Consummate performer, real sorely be missed. Again, Joe Sample has left the building, noted jazz pianist, dead at the age of 75. Let's get back into comic book stuff. Let's lighten up the load a little bit between the women getting beat in elevators and legends dying. Let's get into what we're hearing now, this ever-expanding DC universe. I mean, we could talk about comics in general are expanding, TV, print, and in the large screen, the big screen. But, Darryl, what are your thoughts about – now, we're hearing two things now. Titans, which I guess is the adult version of the Teen Titans, when the Teen Titans actually grow up, for those who are not in the know, we're essentially talking about the sidekicks – that eventually become adults and become their own heroes and have their own mythology. So Titans, hence, is an offshoot of Teen Titans, but Titans is one thing. And then we're hearing that Supergirl is expected to get her own series as well. I think the WB, they're looking into that. Well, CW. And I believe, was it TNT might be getting Titans? What are your thoughts on this, Darryl?
Well, I will put it this way, all right? Being a Teen Titans fan, just like being a Legion of Superheroes fan, I look at everything that I hear on the media, and I take the wait-and-see approach. Why? I'm still waiting for the Judas Contract cartoon. Remember when Grayson was supposed to be a series? I take it with a grain of salt. So DC
Power.
Right there.
Power?
Well, what's up?
Remember Power?
Well, it doesn't have...
Powers.
No, but I'm talking DC here. At least with Powers, I see it's making headway on the PlayStation Network. I've seen stuff from the set, all right? We actually did have a pilot for Powers. But when it comes to Titans... All right, with Titans and anything involving the Titan family, I take a wait-and-see approach with DC because they never follow through. All right? Now, the good thing here, yo, TNT is serious. TNT has these ideas, and they go with it. I mean, I'm getting a series based on the Liberian movies. Falling Skies. People laughed at it, but it's a hit. I laughed at The Last Ship, and that thing finished strong, and it's going to be back for a second season. TNT will give it a chance. It's Warner Brothers that got to get up on off of their own red tape and hang-ups about, oh, hold on, there's members of the Bat Mythos and involved in this. We can't do this. How can we sell stuff like Aqualad and can we use Kid Flash? Because we got Flash the TV series. You know, they're so afraid of cross-pollinization that it freaking handicaps him. That's why I'm saying I'm taking a wait-and-see approach on Titans. Now, with the Supergirl thing, Supergirl is very easy. Very easy. Because Greg Berlanti is involved in it, Greg Berlanti is the type of guy, he doesn't get involved in something unless it is going to happen. So I would bank on the Supergirl thing. Now, my question about that is it far enough removed from Smallville to have people go and watch? Or will the touch of Smallville affect this series? You know, and which Supergirl are you going to use? Are you going to use Kara? Are you going to go the middle American route and use Linda Danvers? Again, that's a lot of questions to be asking about it. It's still early with it. But, like I said, the best thing about the Supergirl thing is that once I heard the name Greg Berlanti involved with it, right there, I'm like, you know what? This is going to come off. You're going to at least get a pilot. And we'll see from there. Back to you, Afro-Nerd.
Yes. Captain, what are your thoughts about these two properties? Again, I guess what I would want to ask you is, do you think that there might be a disservice to putting some of this stuff on TV versus the big screen? Because we're still dealing with fantasy figures that have these amazing abilities and powers, and I don't know if TV is really adequate to deal with these characters the way we would really want to see them. Even The Flash, I think, is being – I mean, it's going to be okay, but The Flash on the big screen is going to be – you know, the power set is going to be the way we want to see it. The TV still pulls things back. There's still budget considerations. Look how S.H.I.E.L.D. operates. It's still, you know, it's still TV. It's not really the way we would really want it to be. What about that consideration with these two properties?
Well, that's a good question. That's a very good question. You already are starting to see, in my opinion, and that's just the modus operandi of how this works. Anyway, you're already starting to see a little bit of drop-off in some of these properties. All right, you see Arrow. Arrow was done very well. But what we saw with The Flash, Flash looks okay, but you could see it's not done as well as Arrow. You see that right off the bat. Now, maybe it'll get better as it goes along. We'll give it a chance. Doesn't look like it's bad. Looks like it's only okay. The writing, the whole way it's put together, the format, special effects is legitimate. It works for TV. It's very cliche-ish, the type of things that are going on. So it's just only okay, and it'll probably get better as it goes along. Constantine pilot, terrible. One of the worst things I've seen. So, you see, these things will happen because the flavor of the month or the year, you can say, is that now they have found that superheroes, that's the cash cow. So everybody wants to go do it. And you might not have the right writing team. You might not have the right people involved at the given time when you're putting your pilot together, when you're putting your show together, which in turn makes a rather weak product for everybody to see. It just doesn't work out very well. So time will tell. But of course, it will be better on the big screen. But as S.H.I.E.L.D. shows, you know, which started out poor and then it became decent, I still don't feel it's up to snuff. What they did was incredible. Going from the television screen to the cinematic screen and pushing the two together. So there's things that can be done there. And I believe if it is done well, that there's room for a lot of these properties to come to the television screen. Gotham looks like it's done very well. Haven't seen the whole thing as of yet, but it looks like it's done very well at a glance. So let's see what happens in the future. Back over to you, Sir Afro-Nerd.
You know, you just had me think of something. Yeah, Gotham really is exceptional. I mean, the way it looks, now that looks like it's ready. I mean, as far as visually, I can't really deconstruct that in such a way where it's less than, let's say, the Bale movies as far as how it looks visually for a TV screen. And again, that's still Warner Brothers, but it's Warner Brothers on Fox. So I don't know if that has something to do with it. Now, why does that look legit visually, whereas the other ones look a little shady? Or is that maybe because, you know, Marvel has their own entertainment house. DC Entertainment, I don't think, operates the same way as Marvel Entertainment. Daryl, maybe you could speak on that. There is a difference between the two. I think Marvel is more of a real creative business imprint under Marvel Entertainment. DC Entertainment, I think that it's not quite where Marvel is. What are your thoughts on that?
The problem with DC is there's too many cooks in the kitchen. You boil it down to brass tacks. Warner Bros. DC, there's too many cooks. All right? You do this property, fine. You do this property, but we got to do this. Wait, but this will change the character. This will change the setting. We don't have money for this. Problem is, and you two just set the problem right there. You two have that pro off of the Bale movies. You guys have already christened. Gotham's going to be great. Visually, it's going to be great. Visually, we've only seen a couple parts of it. We've seen the best. Remember, for television to hook people in, you got to show them the best right there. Visually. All right? I like some of the people in Gotham. All right? Guys on the show know how much I love Donnell Logg from Terriers and stuff, and from Blade. He's a great actor. Jada Pinkett, fave of mine. All right? I gotta hear it. I got to see it. All right? It's visual. Everybody could pump it up all they want. It's like I told you, folks. Okay? We can say whatever. They could say whatever. You have to use your own brain and watch this stuff, okay? Just like I told people with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. People would tell me, it's pure crap. And I'm looking at them like, that's your opinion. But, Daryl, you're a comic book fan. How could you be liking this? I'm liking the groundwork it's being set up on. And then later in the year, those same people, oh, Daryl, oh, my God, I didn't realize. And I'm like, mm-hmm. When do I have to go back? Go back to 7. Go back to 6. Go ahead. Keep on looking. Go back. You'll see the tracks there. You'll see the groundwork being laid right there. Okay? Visually, were the effects up to snuff in Agent Shield? No. But again, I was in it for the comic lore. Okay? Now, with Gotham, hey, you're trying to spin these tales and everything like this. You're already taking liberties. All right? Bruce is already a preteen. Remember, Bruce was close to like 7 or 8 when his parents got killed. In this, he's going to be, 10, 12? We're moving the timelines up a bit. He's going to know Selina Kyle as a kid. There's stuff there where my comic side is like, all right, you're fiddling with this. You better make it so it makes sense. You better make it so this works. Or else I will be one of the first ones to start ripping the holy hell out of you. Okay? You didn't need to change a lot of the stuff you're changing. Let's see you make it work. But back to the original part of this, okay? With TNT, you see it with Fallen Skies. TNT will lay out the budget to give you some special effects and some stuff like that for Titans, okay? But like I've been saying, the problem isn't the network giving the money to do this stuff. The problem has always been you have a vision for the product. Whatever the vision for Titans is, the showrunners are going to have to run through 20, 25 different hoops to get it on film. And out of those hoops, only 6 of the original things that they have will be on screen. with Supergirl. Greg Berlanti is behind it. They wrecked Greg Berlanti. Essentially, he could do whatever he want as long as it's in the budget. Berlanti has persona grata status there. All right? That's why there's certain names, folks out there, there's certain names when you get heard that they get attached to a project should make you happy. Whenever we hear Bruce Timm or Paul Dini attached to something, we know more times than not we're going to get quality and we're going to at least get their vision up there. Okay? Greg Berlanti is like that. He's one of the guys behind Arrow. He's one of the guys behind Flash coming up. He was one of the guys behind Smallville when in the good years, 1 through 5, you know? Notice I had to qualify it. When he's on it, expect it. So the Supergirl, I don't know when. My question about Supergirl has been, what time is it coming? Titans, it's a wait and see. But I know it's not going to be because of TNT if that thing goes down. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
Well, that's another thing, too, Daryl, is that so we're led to believe that Supergirl is going to be on the CW. So she could potentially be in the same universe as Arrow and the Flash. And yet we have the Titans, and we don't know who's going to comprise the Titans, because theoretically you're supposed to have Kid Flash. You're supposed to have Kid Flash slash, you know, going into an adult Flash, Wally West, Raven, Cyborg, and Cyborg's already slated for the big screen. Wonder Girl. I mean, what was her adult name, actually?
Donna Troy. But that's what I was saying, Hoops. They say Titans. You don't know what Titans team it could be. You don't know. There's been about 45, 46 different iterations of Titans. So, honestly, with Titans, I'll be looking close. The reason why is no bones about it. You have to have Dick Grayson or Tim Drake on a Titans team. You have to establish the bat connection. Because anytime they've done something that's tangibly attached to the bat family and disregarded the bat connection, hi, Birds of Prey, looking at you. Hi, Halle Berry, Catwoman, looking at you. It has flopped. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
Now, giving kudos once again to Marvel, this forthcoming New York Comic Con, we're told that there's going to be Daredevil and S.H.I.E.L.D. in attendance. Now, Daredevil is a Netflix property. I mean, you know, we know it's still Marvel, but it's going to be shown on Netflix. I would assume it's going to be gritty. And also Netflix, you know, when it comes down to drama and really coming out hard with characterization, that's the place. You know, AMC, you know, it was funny, Dow, when you mentioned the folks that are behind some of these projects. That's important, but also where it's being shown is important. We know that if there's going to be a comic book property, whatever interpolation we see, if it's going to be on a place like AMC or Netflix, we don't know how it's going to come out visually, but we do know that the storytelling and the seriousness of the approach is going to be of a certain standard. So that's another fact. Like, I'm happy that this whole cul-de-sac that Marvel has created with Jessica Jones and Iron Fist and Power Man and Daredevil, that the fact that all of those shows are going to be on Netflix, it's a good forecast that it's going to be treated seriously. It can still suck, but they have established a certain reputation. So I'm happy about that. But what are your thoughts about Daredevil? Let's go to the captain on this one. What are your thoughts about Daredevil and S.H.I.E.L.D. being in the same spot? You know, kind of like a united front. That's saying something.
That's definitely saying something. Well, we have to see how synergistically that it works. We just have to see. You know, we could all go in and go, wow, yeah, this is great and everything else, but there's always the potential for them to butcher this. And the reason why, you know, the reason why, we do know that Marvel does things correctly. They've shown time and time again, for the most part, that they're not really doing any wrong, you know, for the most part. Even with their S.H.I.E.L.D. series, which I don't like, you know, but the crossover was genius. That was genius, regardless of the fact, whether I like the series or not. So you still have to say they're not doing any wrong. They're still batting 1,000, Guardians of the Galaxy included with that, even though that's cinematic. You know, they're batting 1,000. So, but we still have to see the interaction synergistically, how everything flows, because there's always a potential for you to butcher it. There's always a potential. And the fans are such that once you butcher something, they just say, yeah, I told you so. You see, I told you that. If this was trash, this was this. That's what the fans do. But sooner or later, it's going to happen because so many properties are coming out. You know, like sometimes even right here, we talk about books that they suddenly drop, and we'll go and say, it's not good. So sooner or later, you're going to bring a property to the forefront, and it's not going to work, regardless whether it's on Netflix, it's on TV, or it's in the cinematic universe. It's not going to work. It's just not going to work. So we just watch it. We just see how that works. You know? Everything works.
Well, I'm going to go to a quick groove, but and I want to talk about the Walking Dead spinoff, which I'm intrigued about, although I would like to get a comic book before the TV show, and this will be a first. I'm curious about Daryl's viewpoint on that, because the concept of a Walking Dead spinoff is actually actually ingenious. I mean, in a way, you know, listen, we've seen how these franchise operations go, whether it's CSI or NCIS or what have you. I mean, it's so much like McDonald's at this point for CBS. Even though I like some of that stuff, it's literally the same thing, different location. You know, hey, shouting out St. Albans' own LL Cool J. I'm glad to see that he has the gig, that a hometown boy has done good. But at the same time, it's like, well, you know, you're kind of just, you know, NCIS is going to be in New Orleans, or New Orleans, as the locals say. What makes it so distinctly different than the original? I don't know. But Walking Dead, when we get back, I want to talk about it. But I think that this could be something very special if approached the right way. The premise of it makes sense. All right. Going to a groove. Let's go to about 2 minutes of it. This is Amp Fiddler. I think he's from the Parliament Clan. Amp Fiddler doing Jimi Hendrix. Hey Joe. Give you about 2 minutes of funk. We'll be right back. Let's groove.
Oh, hey.
That was a gained one from the Parliament Clan as a solo act this time, Amp Fiddler, performing the Jimi Hendrix penned classic, Hey Joe. Back into the fold, gentlemen. This is the Grindhouse mixtape this Saturday. We got about 52 minutes and counting, so we have more show, more fire, facts, fun. So, before the break, I was discussing actually The Walking Dead, Robert Kirkman's The Walking Dead, unquestionably a hit at AMC TV. And now we're hearing that there's going to be a spinoff, which makes I like this idea. See, I can pretty much accept anything, and this is very much, I think, a cornerstone of someone who labels himself or herself a nerd. We can roll with it if it makes sense. Even if fantasy, there are rules. Once we get the rules, when it's in fantasy or sci-fi, you just heard Daryl earlier rail against Gotham or the potential for Gotham when you start tinkering with stuff. If they go against the rules, we get upset. So in the sense of the world that has been created from the mind of Robert Kirkman, we've only seen, I mean, this is a post-apocalyptic earth we're talking about, post-apocalyptic world we're talking about. So it stands to reason that Rick Grimes, Rick is essentially the title, you know, the main character, Rick, Carl, Tyrese, the whole gang. That's just one sliver of the survivors in this post-apocalyptic world. So if they do a spinoff and it's in a different country or a different region of the United States, I mean, this could be something radical, but still in the same universe. How another set of folks or another community is developing from this plague that's creating these zombies. So let's go back to the Uncanny Daryl B. What are your thoughts about this spinoff, and why don't I have a comic book first?
Because Walking Dead is going so strong, and B, you've gotten spinoffs prose-wise, the novels, the Walking Dead novels, and the video games. The Telltale games have done a good job of producing side stories which are connected but yet separate from the main story. So you've gotten those. Those are out there, okay? Matter of fact, I've heard critical and fan acclaim for the Season 2 video game that just came out about how they told it and how it wasn't a clean ending to that one. Well, with this, there isn't really truly an ending, all right? Now, the problem you run into with this, okay, is like the end of Season 1, where they try to explain the thing, where they try to explain the virus, or World War Z, the movie, not the novel, the movie, where, oh, Brad Pitt is going to just do all of this, and, they won't affect me. What? You're going to have a lot of people who've read the book go like, I didn't need an explanation. Or if you don't make the explanation or stuff good enough, you'll be just sitting there just questioning the whole series like, what, really? What? Or for folks that don't understand, ask any Superman fan. When they saw Superman and Superman Returns pick up a whole island made of kryptonite and fly it away from Earth and throw it, and ask them to make the face they had on make their face when they saw that scene, that's the danger I'm talking about right there. Or if you're a soap opera buff, and after years of turmoil on Dallas, you wake up and you see Bobby Ewing just taking a shower, like the last year and a half of watching and drama never happened. it was all a dream. Where you're just sitting like, wait, what? That is the danger with a spinoff. If you don't follow the rules established in the universe, or you're trying to establish the rules, you will know right away if the people behind this series saw any of The Walking Dead before or read any of the books, because you will be like, oh, come on now. This was established in the first series that you can't do that. Or this was, that is so out of the norm. Or, oh, this is so unpredictable. Guys, gals, people of sci-fi and fantasy lore, we are a picky lot. Especially when you're dealing with a beloved series, all I'm telling the showmakers is, you better do your research, you better follow the form, you better follow the atmosphere, or you will be ripped. Back to you, Afro-Nerd.
Captain, any thoughts on this?
Let's keep in mind, Walking Dead, the original series, is one of the best things that they put on TV in a long time.
Yeah,
and that's the reality of it. That's just the truth. That's just what it is. It's actually that good.
And the numbers are crazy for AMC TV. I mean, 7-8 million. They're rivaling, you know, CBS.
That's right. For anything, those other major, bigger networks with more power, more money,
and money
do. That's what they do. So anyway, just as the great Daryl B said, you have to be very careful when you're dealing with a spinoff situation, because the spinoff will be looked at a lot just like the original series. It has to be up to snuff. That alone, it has to be up to snuff. It can't be two steps down. We won't allow that. A step down, yes. Step down, and it's a little different, and certain plot lines and the history has been established. We'll allow that. We'll allow that. But if it's two steps down, the people will not allow that, not with what we saw with Walking Dead. So they have to be very careful with this. And that's just the reality. That's just the rules of the Matrix when it comes to this. If Walking Dead was so-so, like what was the so-so series that lasted about 10 years?
You know, Smallville?
That everyone loved. Oh, Smallville, yes. If it was something like Smallville, you know, maybe it wouldn't matter too much, you know? Maybe it wouldn't matter too much, but that's not the case. This is Walking Dead, highest pinnacle. That's all I have to say. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Actually,
yeah,
can I interject one thing real quick? I got into a talk at work with one of the truck drivers that delivers to my store about it, and I was like, you realize that Kirkman, between Walking Dead and Invincible, he's redefined the comic book genre, and it's sort of gone unnoticed in the mainstream until the show broke big. When the show broke big, everybody started going back after the books, like, wait
a
second, whoa. And then you go and look at it, on one side, he essentially did what if Peter Parker was Superman, and then on the other side, he redid, hey, I'm going to give you an end-of-the-world scenario, but I'm not going to fall into the traps. I'm not going to give you supernatural creatures, and I'm not going to give you, like, a doofy explanation to how it started. I'm going to just drop your ass right in the middle of this and follow the ride. And that's essentially what he's done. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
You see, that's why Afro Nerd said what he said, because Walking Dead was a great comic first. That's why he said what he said. Give me something. That's why he said what he said. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, see, now I have the video game, the first one I downloaded on PlayStation 3. And it was pretty good, and I know I'm already behind. I'm behind on a lot of games. We were supposed to talk about Destiny, this new game that broke records. I think they shipped 500 million for this Destiny video game. And actually, it has kind of, sort of, a Guardians of the Galaxy feel to it. No relation. Although I think that the it's called Guardians. I think the actual some of the characters are called Guardians. Again, no relation to Guardians of the Galaxy, but it's still very much a sci-fi one-person shooter video game that's already breaking records. And I think some are likening it or saying that it's the most popular video game on record to date, based on how many games have been shipped out. But going back to The Walking Dead, I know these other things going on, but you need a solid script. And that's where the comic book lies. The comic book, heck, I'm not even that into The Walking Dead as a series because I'm already into, what issue was that? Was like 150-something in Walking Dead already? I'm already so many storylines ahead.
What are we? We're getting close to 150, aren't we? You know what? I'm looking it up right now.
I didn't read the latest issue yet, but I'm already many plot lines ahead of the live action, and the live action has changed some things.
Yeah, Daryl, most importantly.
You know, I will get to it because I have to, but the book to me is so far superior to the TV series, but. I know the TV series is no joke. I just hope that the spinoff is its own animal with connections to the first one. You know, make some allusions to the other one without there being a crossover. Don't be corny. They can't have a crossover because they could be on the other side of the planet, which is what they should do. They should have. Heck, I'm surprised there isn't a UK version of The Walking Dead. Well, in a way, there is, but it's not called The Walking Dead. And speaking of other versions, now, I missed out on this Z Nation thing. I was hoping to have seen it before this broadcast, but after the broadcast, I will check it out. Daryl, did you see this Z Nation, sci-fi Z Nation?
Yeah.
I can tell already.
Yeah, it's schlocky. But I got to admit, I was laughing. I'm laughing at something. And just, folks, the first episode, Zombie Baby.
Don't say too much. I didn't see it.
No sense, Zombie Baby. Just you know what this is? It's a B-movie version of The Walking Dead combined with, like, Resident Evil. Where they actually have a freaking mission. And the mission kind of makes sense. But then at the same time, you just scratch your head like, wow, this... I can't see this lasting more than a season and a half, 2 seasons. Hell, they killed Painkiller Jane, all right? They killed Alphas. If those got killed, I don't see this one staying. I'll tell you the truth. No. Back to you. Although, Mr. Parento, I like him as an action dude. He fits the mold. He can do action. It makes you wonder why, you know, he hasn't gotten any action gigs. But, again... You know, it's just, and DJ Qualls is a personal favorite of mine. He can always make me laugh. But yeah, this one you watch with a lot of alcohol or good friends, and you can make up drinking games very easy on this one. Back to you, Laffer Nerd.
Yeah, you know, there was a show that I was actually into, and I'm behind in it. That's from the BBC. That's reminds you of The Walking Dead, but it deals with a different premise, in the sense that the zombies are self-aware. There's a way that they are able to come back from being automatons. Do you remember the name of it? I think it's season 2 or season 3 is already out there.
What, the Flesh one?
I missed the last two
episodes of that too. To me it had no relation because the zombies are intelligent.
Yeah, the Envy Flesh. Well, it's related because the zombies are zombies. I mean, as far as before, the whole thing is there's a way they're able to come out of being zombies. Yeah, it's called in the flesh. But you still have zombies walking around. And you know, if they have to get caught, and then they have to be given a drug or something, and they have to be given inoculations every couple of days or what have you. So it's treated more like a real virus. But still, there's prejudice. You know, you see, and they have that zombie look. So essentially, you still are Walking Dead, but you're Walking Dead with sentience. So at least. I feel that the Sci-Fi Z Nation, they had to go that route. You just couldn't have a George Romero-style thing on TV because the Walking Dead already has given you that. So it has to come off with a different... I mean, heck, we forget that the CW, they have iZombie coming out. iZombie is also kind of has a comedic take on that. Who's the artist, my favorite artist that did that for iZombie? Daryl, you know this. Allred. Michael Allred. I dug that book. Who was it? That's a DC book, though, isn't it, Daryl?
Yeah, Vertigo.
Vertigo, right, Vertigo. But that's definitely, you know, it's going to be gory, but it's comedic. But that's another take on, well, actually, iZombie is just one... maybe one or a couple of characters are zombies. Everybody else is, if they do it according to how the comic is, it's going to have the entirety of the supernatural world.
Yeah,
they're going to have
but...
different types of zombies. They're going to have werewolves and different types of werewolves. I think they have not a werewolf. They call it something else. Almost like what True Blood is, where, you know, they're not quite, you know, they have different variations, which makes it interesting. But it's done on a comedic level.
Yeah, but the problem with iZombie, again, is that they're making it for a teen audience. That they're going to... So I don't want, what was the movie where they had the zombie fall in love with a human girl, and it was totally idiotic. Or the one that's coming out with the kid that played the Green Goblin. And his girlfriend is a zombie, you know, and they continue their love affair. I don't want to see that. I'm sorry. I don't want to. When we're doing now comic book adaptations and stuff, and you're trying to change the matter into something like that? I mean, iZombie, I've already heard it characterized like it's True Calling meets Resident Evil. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? That wasn't what I read in iZombie. What I wanted. Back to you, Afrinert.
You know what the deal is, Daryl, is that this stuff makes money, and they're going to appeal to that audience. You were talking about last year's Warm Bodies. I'm looking at the box office take. Once you hear the box office take on this thing, and I never got around to seeing it. I kind of sort of wanted to see it. Listen, I am a romantic at heart. Sometimes even I, as an adult male, can get into some of this stuff. Sometimes. This one, and plus Rob Corddry was in it. He's hilarious. The budget on Warm Bodies, which came out January of 2013. Now, usually January, and the captain knows this implicitly, January customarily is a horrible time to see movies. That's when the movies that they think are complete excrement, it's always January 1st to the 31st. So somehow it was released. Well, actually, let me rephrase this. Internationally, it was released on January, so it just missed it. February 1st was when Warm Bodies came out, and probably for Valentine's Day. Anyway, $35 million budget, $116 million box office. There you go. You're talking about almost four times the budget that this thing made. So that's the end of that.
So I better prep for Warm Bodies too, is what you're saying. Oy.
That's also a consideration. They go back into the well. They go back into the well. That is Hollywood. You've been through this before. I mean, I didn't even know it was – I knew it was – I heard it did pretty well. I didn't know it did that well. $35 million versus $116 million, there you go. That's what they want. That's the bread and butter for Hollywood. They don't necessarily want to invest $300 million in an Avengers 2, theoretically, although they know they're going to get their money. They like these little things, these little shots in the arms. That's the bread and butter for Hollywood. $35 million versus $116 million. Let's keep it moving. These big corporate monsters, Avengers 2, Captain America, where you got to put in $200 million, $250 million, Batman versus Superman. I mean, thankfully they're doing it, but I suspect they prefer warm bodies over Batman versus Superman. Lower investment, high return. It is what it is. I want to switch things around a little bit. We'll go back to the pulp in a minute. I happen to check this out courtesy of The Root, The Root. And I don't necessarily like The Root all the time. I mean, they definitely have an agenda. The progressive version of The Wall Street Journal, you know, they don't hide it. But when they put out something that has to be discussed, sometimes their angle is the correct one. So anyway, Yesha Callahan wrote an article talking about Vogue magazine's approach to the big butt phenomenon. And I find it curious as to how Vogue, you know, Vogue is one of the top fashion magazines in the universe. And now they're getting around to these bulbous posteriors that men of color, not unlike myself, admire, respectfully. So anyway, the piece is entitled, Vogue Magazine Just Realized Big Butts Are a Thing, and credits white people. I mean, you know, I guess this is par for the course. We should be aware of this by now. I just think that, unfortunately, the urban media is almost non-existent. And the way that we're fighting back is perhaps the way that we're doing it now. Podcasts are seem to be the, you know, Ice-T has a podcast. You can check it out. Ice-T, Combat Jack. There are plenty of podcasts out here since conventional mainstream black media is just waning. So anyway, I'm going to read this briefly, and then I'm going to pass it around the room. I'm looking at this picture, this famed picture of Kim Kardashian. We've all seen it where she's taking a selfie of her rear, which she appears to be doing all the time. You know, I'm looking at this picture. I'm trying not to look at it, but, you know, it does look like something. I will say that. Anyway, she says, Ms. Callahan, she says, what happens when you try to be provocative and write about something that you obviously have no clue about? An article titled, We're Officially in the Era of the Big Booty, with references to Jennifer Lopez, Iggy Azalea, Kim Kardashian, and Miley Cyrus happened. Patricia Garcia writes in Vogue magazine, for years it was exactly the opposite. A large butt was not something one aspired to, rather something one tried to tame in countless exercise classes. Even in fashion, that darling creative space where nothing is ever off limits, the booty has traditionally been shunned. Obviously, Garcia hasn't hung out around black people for much of her life, or only knows three, Nicki Minaj, Rihanna, and Beyonce, who are cited in the article. As I'm sitting here on my well-endowed derriere, as a matter of fact, I can't help wondering why butts are now in vogue. Oh, wait. Is it because there are non-black women now carrying the extra baggage of Sarah Bartman? That's Hottentot Venus. I'm saying outside of this. That's Hottentot Venus to our listeners anyway. Let's take a look at the butts Garcia refers to. Sure, J-Lo has been around for decades, from her start as a fly girl in Living Color to a pop star and actress. Lopez's butt made her famous back in the day, but guess what? Take the 6 train that J-Lo sang about, and on any given day, you'll see hundreds of butts even more impressive than hers. And then there's Azalea. Sorry, but I'm going to need receipts. By receipts, I mean it looks store-bought. along with Azalea's fake black scent, I'm wondering if she rocks a Depends diaper or has some silicone pumped into her rear. All right, I'll leave it at that. Obviously, this topic is, you know, it's foolish, but I think there is something about cultural appropriation. And it is troubling to see all this growing comfort with big butts when black women, Latin women, I'm wondering the person for Vogue, her name is Patricia Garcia. I don't know what's going on with her. Maybe she's one of those quote unquote white Hispanics, or she just has that surname. But Patricia Garcia could be a black woman. She could be mestizo. She could be a Latin woman of color. But I doubt it, because for her to write this article and not to be aware that, you know, Janet Jackson had this large derriere 25 years ago. But, you know, she even mentioned it on Oprah. I mean, why is it? And if anything, listen, our first lady has a posterior, I say respectfully, but she is degraded for it. So what's the deal? What's the deal here? Why this is in an insane way? This is Elvis from the rear. This is Elvis from the rear. Let's go to the captain on this. What are we dealing with here? This does bother me for some reason.
Well, the modus operandi of the powers that be is what they do here. This is just what they do here. It's just a regular business as usual. Go back 1979, Bo Derek, when she had the braids. How long were they doing that in the black community? You know, we could go on and on. They made it into a big deal and said, oh, they came up with some type of new style and everything else. What happens is, they let everything hit critical mass in the black community, and then they take all your goodness, your sublime good, and then leave you with the toxic waste. Hence, they appropriate it, and they take it and do whatever else and use it as something as brand new. That's exactly what they've been doing. They've been doing it for the longest. Just as you mentioned Elvis, and we can go even further back than that. You know, it's just since day one. That's what they do. That's how it works. Hence the reason for needing your own system, or if you're not going to have your own system, you need to make a system within the system so you can do what's necessary in order to push yourself forward. That's it. That's just business as usual. Back over to you, Sir Afternoon.
Uncanny, you're up. What are your thoughts about this topic?
I'll hit it from two different fronts. One, being that I just got back from Carabana, let me tell you, you're saying white women brought it back? I think Asian women got something to say to you, Ms. Garcia. Asian women were rocking it up there. Asian women with bigger butts than black women. All right? White women with bigger butts than black women. Now, the problem is, are they store-bought? You don't know who's real or who's fake. You don't know. All I know is that as a man, I'm walking down the street, and I see some of these women pass me by. Oh, it's great to look at. It's beautiful to look at. But I'm going to need ID if I'm going to try to talk to them. That's another thing you don't know. Like Captain said, the style has been co-opted right across the mainstream. So you don't know who's who. You don't know what ages. You don't know natural, unnatural. But I do know this. I like looking at them. I'm a man. Hey, a girl with a fine butt, hey, that's great. But, again, key word there is I'm a man. I'm not going to go, hey, baby, that looks fun. No. But the second thing is, you said this article was from Vogue, right?
Yeah,
all right,
Vogue.
So you know, Vogue, Vanity Fair, all of these publications lost my interest when I found out about, oh, we're lightening up this dark person to be on our cover. Or, oh, this person's slightly overweight, we're going to Photoshop them. Oh, it's amazing how many women go back to these publications when they're cheating you and giving you a fake image of beauty on the cover. Females out there, I love you all, okay? And I'll just tell you this. There's no greater beauty than natural beauty. Okay? A little makeup, a little hair did, that's beautiful. But when you jack yourself up on the pictures, when you jack yourself up with how much you put on, guess what? That ain't you. That's a mask. I'm sorry to say it like that. And if you're still taking advice from these publications about beauty, who are notorious for changing beautiful people's beauty to fit in, then who's the fool here? Back to you, Afro-Nerd.
Oh, that was so sweet, Darryl.
You know, I see our friend Q-Storm is in the chat room, and he's saying, Asian women with a big butt, and then he has Homer Simpson gargle.
No, so hey, Captain could tell you, he hangs out in Flushing, too.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about.
He's seen him, too. He sees some.
I take the fifth.
Well, this is the thing, and I know what Daryl's talking about because I've seen this too, and I've also hung down Main Street Flushing myself. You're talking about westernized Asian women, and there are video models you're seeing that are Asian. I'm not even talking about Afro-Asian. That's another aspect. I've dated Afro-Asian women. I'm talking about Asian women, monoracially Asian women, and you're starting to see it. And we're not talking about someone who just arrived from Korea or from the Philippines or what have you. But then at the same time, you do have different types of Asian, different types of phenotypes, so that factors into it as well. But for the most part, we do have a certain vision of what an Asian woman conventionally looks like. But at the same time, in living in America, the diets, we're becoming one. Rightfully or wrongfully, we are all becoming one. And we're picking and taking, and we're cherry picking what we like and what we dislike. So what we're seeing is we're seeing the full lips on women that normally would not have them. We're seeing tan skin. We're seeing fuller bodies, fuller breasts, fuller backsides. So we're seeing some things. And when you are a man of color, as a man of color, it's a great day. Like what Daryl just talked about, it's a great day. From my perspective, but if we're going to get into a political conversation, it is problematic that you're seeing history. You're seeing things change, and yet at the same time, some things are never changing. You're seeing history repeating itself, where this co-opting, this cultural appropriation, it's one thing to have the power to do this 60, 70 years ago, whether it's Elvis, whether it's what happened with some of the jazz artists, and all of the cultural things that have been taken from the black community and credit not given. But now we're in the 21st century where we have social media, we have a man of color in the White House, we have a black family in the White House, totally. And that's not supposed to be also, visually. Now we've become comfortable with it like it's an everyday thing. When you see, when or if you see Hillary Clinton and you see the first gentleman, Bill Clinton, which will be—I need to see that. I almost wanted to see that before I saw a black president. I will confess, almost to see the first gentleman and to see a female, just to see that dynamic. Slick Willie back in effect again, just for feasting and giggles, and for what the comedy community will do if that happens. Their heads will explode. Anyway, we're living in times where things are merging and meshing. But pardon me, what remains the same is black folks continue to get ripped off. That never changes. The black community, the black cultural contributions, the ripping off is the same as Little Richard. And what's his name with the white shoes? I can't remember the gentleman's name. Pat Boone. Pat Boone performing Tutti Frutti. Except instead of Pat Boone, it's Iggy Azalea performing Fancy. And Pat Boone performing Tutti Frutti was like 1959. 2014. The game is still being played the same way. And it is disrespectful that the beauty of the derriere on a black woman, the darker the body, the less inclined we're ready to give props. Lighten up the body, all of a sudden, it's a new invention. I have to agree. I don't agree with the root 90% of the time, but on this one, they're right on this. You are correct. All right.
Well, hold it. Two things quick. The last Walking Dead issue was 131. It came out this week. That's the first one. And the second one is... And the second one is, I forgot Latin women. Latin women, I'm sorry, you know. Hey, I got to go down to Spanish Harlem tomorrow, my own dang self. So you know what? So none of you girls take me out for... You forgot us. Latin women, you know, I appreciate your rumps too.
Wait a minute. You forgot Latin women. I never forgot Latin women. I think I mentioned it. Well, actually, the route talked about J-Lo, when you go down that train that she referenced in her song, there's women that look just like her and better and with more impressive backsides. But that really wasn't what was mentioned in the article. The article gave props to essentially white women for this new invention that's been around since the days of Sarah Bartman, a.k.a. Hottentot Venus. And today's Hottentot Venus is, of course, Nicki Minaj. But it's not – she's perceived, and maybe rightfully, she's a minstrel, she's a clown, so she's not really – she's not perceived the same way as these other women are perceived. She's not getting any props, not necessarily.
Like
it's only her butt.
But what the article should have said, right, is if you want a good again, this is I'm speaking New York wise, okay? If you have a predilection for beautiful women, all right, and you want to see them, and you want to see all types, all shapes, all colors, okay, hit Central Park. Hit the 7 train. Hit the D train. You know, they're all out there. But as I'm saying, it's not because of one race or another. You just like you just said, it's become it all homogenized. Thank you. We're all sort of blending, and it isn't a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. But men out there, I still state, check ID when you're flirting. Just check ID when you're flirting, because you wouldn't want your young daughter who's like 12 dressing like she's 19 getting flirted with by like a 34-year-old dude.
Here we go, man. Here we go.
I'm just warning. Warning the men out there. Yo, she looks fine. Oh, my God, that looks so great. Oh, I got to go speak to her. And then you see her get on a yellow school bus.
All right. Let me hit you with the progressive tone. Why couldn't you men be talking about how beautiful these women are, you know, facially speaking, you know, regardless of their skin color? Why do we have to always talk about these women's butts? Why do we have to overly sexualize these individuals?
Okay, you're
because that's not
first
what the
all,
article is about. Because that's not what
yeah,
the article is
you.
About. There you go.
Yeah, thank you.
And the article
is written by a woman who wanted props to be given.
Okay, and the other thing is, for all the progressive women out there, okay, now, I'm wearing my usual comic outfit. I see you're beautiful and all that. I come up to talk to you. Hi, ma'am. I appreciate the way you look. You look fine today. My name is Daryl. Could I holler at you a second? And right there, oh, you're not in my class. Or like in the Steve Harvey show yesterday, which I looked at work, they had this beautiful black woman, okay? And she's complaining, I can't get a date. So they go, they follow her on a date with this successful black man, well-spoken, and they show the comedy of errors that she perpetrates. So Steve Harvey's like, okay, I saw all the errors there. I have a successful man on my staff, okay? And he's looking for a date, so let me try to hook you two up. So here he is, the guy's well-spoken, he's looking at her, and what's she doing? She's looking at him from his shoes up and shoes back down, looking at, not looking at, oh, he's paying me respect, he's well-spoken. No, he's looking him up and down like, how much money does he have? I'm just saying, you know, you girls talk about ideals and all of that stuff, you know, it cuts both ways, and sometimes your hypocrisy is showing.
Well,
back to you,
Daryl, listen, you heard the tape from earlier this afternoon on the Dr. Wilmer Leon show. I did that. As a matter of fact, I'll go even deeper. She was profiling him, and black folks don't like profiling. So,
and yet we do it all the time.
Right about that.
Yeah.
Woo, you hit one right there. It's a can of words, D-Bird. Be careful.
Well, hey, whether you're going to your doctor, your dentist, your date, or you're going to a mortgage lender, you're getting profiled. When you're going to a job, you're getting profiled. So it depends on what are you being scrutinized for. Or how the scrutiny is going down. But let's not pretend that people aren't profiling. People profile every day. Every day.
And that leads us right into the last subject once we get off this groove, right?
Yeah, I want to talk about this acting white thing. not that I'm familiar.
I don't know what it means. I don't know what that means.
I sense a bleeding heart from me coming off of this one.
All of us have our stories, our pain. Young lady, 16 years old, Rock Hill, South Carolina, beaten up or accosted by a classmate with this whole thing of her acting too much like a white person. That was the actual phrase from the bully. And here we go again. We can't seem to stop. I've shouted out Marquez Brownlee, who is lighting up YouTube with millions of views for being what Google says, for being the best technology reviewer on the planet. This is a young man of color, black male, 20, going to be 21 soon, and already he's playing the game the right way. But he is a nerd. He is very well spoken. His comportment is in order. His erudition is on point. And I guarantee he was called or told that he was acting like a white person at some point in his life. And again, and this to our white listeners, it's unfair to white folks because it makes them seem as if that only white people can do this. It sounds crazy.
You don't have to speculate. Just look at the comments before underneath his videos. You'll have, oh, wow, that's great. Oh, this is great. This is awesome. Why are you acting like that? Where's your color? So you'll have compliment, and then someone just comment, why are you acting like this? How is he acting?
You know how I would answer that? I'm acting this way because Tesla is on the phone, because Google is on the phone, because I'm speaking to the CEO of Motorola. That's why I'm acting like that. Now, if you want to speak to Shaquan or Lakeisha around the corner, you can choose to do that. I'm cutting some checks now. This is a game. This is an entire minstrel program. Entire. Watermelon under your arm and tap dancing with taps on. Obviously. How come these people are not getting this? Being intelligent and well-spoken is not under the sole purview of whiteness. It's giving white people too much credit. It's giving white people too much credit. As a matter of fact, if you want to be more accurate, she's acting Asian. Let's stop saying that. Because, even that is wrong. But if you're going to be, it's not white people, because they're not running it anymore. Not scholastically, not according to the test scores. It's Asian folk. So if you're going to be accurate, you're acting too Asian.
But
that's the reality.
Hey, again, again, this is not meant to be a racial divide, folks. We're not saying that.
No, it's not.
But we are just trying to tell you folks out there, when you throw these stones, you better make sure your walls ain't glass either. Because you say this stuff, hey, we could inspect you the same way, but then when they inspect you, oh, it's unfair, you're profiling me. Just
saying. Well, you know what? Let's forego the groove because we've got about 7 minutes remaining, so we're going to go this now, use the groove I chose as the outro. But to get more specific about what has happened, again, I'm reading from the Daily Caller. A high school girl said she was beaten up at bus stop, acting too much like a white person. And again, this is not to let, because our listenership, it's comprised of many different ethnicities, which we prefer. Even though the show is called Afro Nerd, it's for everybody. It's for everybody. The article says a 16-year-old high school girl in Rock Hill, South Carolina, told police that another high school girl taunted her on a school bus and then beat her up after she got off the bus. The assailant allegedly was angry at the victim because she was behaving too much like a white person. Both the alleged attacker and the victim are black, reports the State, a Columbia, South Carolina newspaper. The incident occurred on Thursday afternoon on a bus carrying students who attend Northwestern High School. The unidentified assault victim, 16, told investigators she exited the bus on McDowell Drive, a winding street dotted with small ranch-style houses. Shortly after she got off the bus, she said her attacker violently punched her a bunch of times, then fled the scene. A Rock Hill police report notes that the witnesses told the same basic story. So again, we're getting into this whole notion of acting white. We've seen a number of stories like this. I have been told this at some time or another, even into adulthood I've been told this. And when I started this show and took some of the positions I took, some of the emails came in, and they were very not kind. They were not kind, questioning my ethnicity even. So here we go again, giving white people too much credit for something that has nothing to do with race. Speaking the king's English or the queen's English, doing well in school, all these positive affirmations are not under the sole domain of whiteness. Clearly they're not. But there's such a degree, and this is going to Sergio Mims because he references this so much and correctly. There's such a self-hatred thing going on with our people that it permeates even to the youth. Now, we're at a point now, it's one thing to hear this 30 or 40 years ago, but to continually to hear this in the new millennium, I mean, is it going to be 2150, and are we still going to have, you know, maybe we'll have a Jetsons floating school bus or some kind of hovercraft school bus by that point? Are we still going to see this again? I don't want to go into yet another century with this notion that doing well in school and speaking the king's English connotes whiteness. That really should connote Asianness. And I say that to be funny.
Okay.
I'm opening it up.
Okay,
to,
there
you
go.
Yeah.
I thought you lost your mic for a second.
No. I just took a pause. What about Captain? Even our president, about a month ago, spoke the same way about this being minstrelsy. That to continue he talked about personal issues, and this whole thing it's got to stop. And this is shouting out to black people now. We're talking about, but it's not only black people. To be fair enough, Asians have gotten this. You know, the Oreo. For the Oreo pejorative for the black person, the banana pejorative for the Asian person, everyone of color somehow has to deal with this.
See, here's the thing, you know, some minstrels throughout the past actually did have high cognition. They were just playing the game, doing what they had to do or how they felt. They felt that this is what they had to do in order for them to make the money at the given time. Didn't mean that they did not have high cognition. But this right here is the aspect of the menstrual behavior that is the low cognition aspect. Because if you can't see that speaking proper, going to school, having a job, just essentially doing the things that you're supposed to do, it doesn't have anything to do with race or anything like that. You're putting a disclaimer that it's white, or as we now say, we change it around. If you really want to say it's actually Asian, you're an idiot. Your cognition is low. That's what ultimately it comes down to. And we don't have time for that anymore. The race doesn't have time for that anymore. It doesn't make any sense. You understand? If you just can't see it, it's written up on the chalkboard. It has nothing to do with anything else. Just do what you're supposed to do, and you keep it moving. You can't see that. You're just a moron. You're just a retard. You're just something else. You're a subhuman. That's all I have to say. Back over to you, Sir Affirmative.
We got a little bit less than a minute. And also, why is it, I mean, I know these are young people, but someone has to convey to these young folks, and even older folks, that it's her business. Why are you so concerned about what this girl does?
Even if you,
you know what, Darryl, if you look at the newspaper, there's a lot of high school shenanigans with adults.
Oh, yeah.
That's what makes this frightening.
Yeah, but here's the problem, and I could sum it up in two words, okay? In our community, if you're acting like that, if you're successful, oh, he's a sellout or she's a sellout, all right? And go like, oh, he doesn't act like we do. He doesn't listen to what we do. It's stupid. We often say it, okay? Before you throw stones at other people, look at your house. They're successful and you're not? Just take a look at what they're doing. Just take a look at what they're doing. Ask them. No, our first instinct is, oh, he's successful doing that, but he doesn't hang over here. He's a sellout. He's not one of us. He's white. You know, it's something like this. We are scared to be different in a group setting, and that defines high school because you have to be a part of the popular cliques. Oh, he's different. We're making fun of him. We're going to pick on him, you know? Folks, you have brains. Use them. Stop acting like idiots. Back to you, Afrinerd.
On that note, we're already into the podcast mode. We're not live anymore, so... on that note, Captain and Darryl, definitely a great show. Always appreciate your support and contribution. Things are only going to get bigger and better. Let's go to a quick groove and a quick outro groove. This is Ragga Dub by Bad Brains and Fishbone. I guess we're not supposed to listen to them either. Okay, although they're black doing rock music. Ragga Dub, Bad Brains and Fishbone. See you next Wednesday. It's been real. Thank you. Like a flower child.